use me and that you would speak through the words that I say, that these students would be challenged in the way that they live to evaluate whether they're working wisely, whether they can improve. God, all of us need to improve in some way. And so as we read this, Lord, I ask that you would use the Holy Spirit and place it on our hearts how we can grow and how we can work wisely and better fulfill the purposes that you have for our lives. Thank you, Jesus. In your name we pray, amen. So we've been talking about Proverbs. We've been talking about how to live wisely. Okay, if you remember back a few weeks ago, Pastor Keith talked about speaking wisely and using our words in a wise way so that we can build up, that we're constructive, right? Not destructive, that our words have the power to build someone up or to tear them down. And so our words have a lot of power in them. The whole idea of sticks and stones break our bones, words can never hurt me. Maybe in a physical sense, but in a very inner sense, they can cause a lot of destruction. And so we have to be wise in the way that we speak. And so tonight we're going to move on to the way that we work, and we're going to see that this is a theme throughout Scripture, that we're going to read in Proverbs where it's talking about work, but it's also an idea that's reaffirmed in the New Testament, that Jesus doesn't come along and say, now everyone can just go on a Disney cruise for the rest of your life and don't worry about it. You don't have to do anything. That would have been nice, but that's not our purpose here on earth, okay? It's not for us to just live leisurely, go on vacation all the time, and just have a good time, which is what some people think Jesus came for, okay? That's not his purpose in coming, and that's not our purpose for being here on earth, okay? The first instance I want us to look at is in Proverbs 6. So if you have a Bible, flip over to Proverbs chapter 6, okay? Our first point tonight is going to be the wise man works well. Now, this is a very broad idea, right? That the wise man works well. What does it mean to work well, though? Okay, let's look at Proverbs chapter 6, verses 6 through 11. This is a pretty neat illustration here. He says, go to the ant, O sluggard. Man, he starts with like name calling right off the bat, okay? He's like, you sloth, you sluggard, okay? Go to the ant, consider her ways and be wise. Without having any chief, officer, or ruler, she prepares her bread in summer and gathers her food in harvest. How long will you lie there, O sluggard? When will you arise from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come upon you like a robber, and want like an armed man. Whew, that's pretty strong language right there, okay? He's speaking wisely here, but he's also being pretty forthcoming and just saying, look, ants, okay? Ants, we all have seen them, and these guys, they don't have someone going, oh, ants, you need to go over here, you need to do this and that. No, they govern over themselves, but they know that they have to store up food. They have to work. And I don't know how much you have done on studying ants, but ants are kind of fascinating. There's different kinds of ants. Some ants are bigger, some are tiny, right? And some of them can carry like hundreds of times their weight, right? Like this tiny little ant that weighs like nothing will be carrying a stick or a leaf or something like that that's enormous compared to the size of this ant, but it's just carrying it around. And they do this in a really neat way. They'll have, you know, their nest, their little ant bed, and they go out into the world and they're searching for food or water or things that they need to build this nest. And when they find something that's going to be helpful, they take some of it with them, they eat it, and they go back to their nest and they leave a trail of pheromones, okay, which is like a marker for them saying, hey, there's something back this way. And so they'll go back to the nest, and then the other ants pick up on that, and they go out to this food source or something. I tried to bring you guys some ants tonight, and They got out somewhere in the building, so if you feel a bite, just know that may be it. No, I'm just kidding. But I did try. I had like a little jar that used to be like spaghetti sauce or something, and I filled it up with an ant bed that like I dug out really quickly with a shovel and put it in there, and then put a lid on top of it and poked a couple of holes and like put a cotton ball. So I was like, that way they can't get out. This is pretty smart. The thing I didn't do that was smart, I even put a piece of bread in there. Check it out. Okay, I gave them some food. The thing I forgot was to like put a little bottle cap of water in there or something. So I'm pretty sure they just all shriveled up and died or something, which is pretty bad. So, I mean, it was either that or it was going to be ant bed killer. One way or the other, they were going down. But, okay, he writes here, though, and talks about going to the ant as an example. Okay, that this ant, it doesn't have anyone lording over it saying that you have to do this, but it understands that for the good of the whole ant colony, it needs to work, and it needs to work along with others. You can do YouTube searches and find pretty quickly some interesting things about ants and the way that they work, but they work together. They look out for the good of others, and we kind of see some other things that are neat about them here. Okay, it says working hard, right? Think about that ant. He's lifting several times his own body weight. I saw one guy, he said, the way an ant works, if we made that like how a man would have to work on equivalent, he would have to carry a 50-pound boulder, okay, about 30 miles every day. Yikes, right? Like, nobody wants to do that. But ants do this kind of stuff. They carry this huge thing over long distances compared to how small they are. They're carrying this thing back and forth and helping each other out. They're building something greater than just themselves. But they work really hard, okay? The next thing is they do it diligently. Who can tell me what the word diligent means? What does it mean to be diligent? Somebody with good vocabulary, been studying for SATs or something. What? The opposite of what? Mean? Oh, the opposite of you. Okay, that's not. To work with passion? Okay, I like that. That's a pretty good way of saying it, Hannah.
Whenever you start working on something, you don't stop until you finish.
Yeah. Yeah, like persevering, right? Okay, yep. Loyal. To your work, sort of, in a way, okay, yeah. So to go after it, to not give up, to continue in it, to work diligently, okay? If we look at Proverbs 31:27, okay, if you don't know, Proverbs 31 is an excellent proverb about what a godly woman looks like, and in part of the description it says, she looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat of the bread of idleness. Idleness is just sitting around, kind of like laziness, right? This ant, okay, interesting thing about ants, they take like 100 or 200 something naps every day. How many people want to take naps like the ant, okay? Here's the issue. The naps only last like 1 minute apiece, okay, because they got to get back to work. And so they rest, but they rest, and then they're back at it, okay? They understand that they have a lot that they need to do throughout the day, and so they work pretty hard at it. The last thing is working skillfully. Proverbs 22:29 says, "You see a man skillful in his work. He will stand before kings. He will not stand before obscure men." Throughout the entire scriptures, we see people who work hard at what they do, getting to do awesome things for God. I was reading not too long ago in the book of Exodus, and it talks about the building of the tabernacle. And God uses some men who were skillful in their craft. They were able to use metal in really cool ways, very skillfully. And God used them, and they got to be part of this special meeting place for the people of Israel. We see in the book of Daniel where the people, these guys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and Daniel, they go through this time of study, and they work really hard, and they go after it, and they have to make up for, they're just eating like fruits and vegetables, and these other guys are eating all kinds of great food that seems really good, but they're doing it for the Lord, and so they've got this kind of against them that, hey, we're not eating all this great meat, we're not eating all this bread that everybody else is, that the food pyramid tells us that, you know, you should have this and that. But guess what? They worked at it hard, and at the end of the time, they were still found to be above anyone else that was put in comparison to them. They worked skillfully. They worked and learned how to do what they were doing the best that they could. And we can do this, you guys. Each of us needs to find, you know, you're in school right now. School is important. It is good for you to have an education. It's good for you as you go out into the world to know 2 + 2 = 4, A, B, C, and then the letter D, and then E, and then F, and I can read Hooked on Phonics, all that good stuff, okay? Those are important things, but for us to be skillful in them doesn't just take us being lazy. It requires us continuing to pursue it, continuing to work at it, and to develop it in new ways. And this doesn't just come automatically. It's something you have to intend to do. You have to go after it and say, I'm not just going to put a bunch of dirt in this random area, but I'm going to build tunnels, right? Because that's what ants do, okay? Ants, they don't just spread out dirt and then go, okay, that looks pretty good, right? Like, they build this area up. And it's got all these tunnel ways and stuff. They move their larvae around to different areas to protect it. They set out, you know, the soldier ants that take care of everybody. And they've got the worker ants. And they got the queen ant that is laying all these larvae all over the place, okay? But they all have these jobs, and they do it well. They work hard at it. Likewise, we've got to be hard workers in what we do. We need to make sure that the work that we are doing is done well. That when people see, man, Scott Shepherd, they should see a good worker. They should see somebody who is pursuing to be the best that he can. And of course, not all of us are going to be great in the same areas. Guys, somebody in here is a way better gymnast than I am. I can do like part of a cartwheel, and I can like fall on my face and do somewhat of a somersault. And that's about it, all right? Like, that's about it. Some of you guys are like, I could run a marathon on my hands, okay? You guys are like amazing. You can do all these back tuck, handspring, triple axle, something or other. I don't even know. You guys are good at different things. We're not all built the same, and that's part of the beauty of God creating us. Ephesians 2:10 doesn't say every single person is created the exact same way to do the exact same thing. You all need to learn to write cursive in this same way. You all need to learn how to do a triple axel or whatever. I don't even know what that is, really. I know it's in figure skating somehow. But, but you know, like, we're not all called to do the exact same way, but we're all called to do what we do well. And for the glory of God, remember, he said to do these good works, which he has planned in advance for us, that we should walk in them. Our next point is the wise man works honorably. The wise man works honorably. What does it mean to do something honorable? Obviously, it means with honor, right? Okay. That's how adverbs work. Honorably means with honor, okay? Very, very difficult to understand. But to do something with honor, we talked about how we're supposed to honor our parents a few weeks ago in the worship service. But to bring honor to something is to value something because it's valuable, right? To give worth to something and to esteem something. Well, when we work, we're not just working for no reason, okay? The way that we can go about working can be done with honor, with integrity. The this wise man, he works honorably. And this means he's not hasty, okay? He doesn't work hastily. If you look at Proverbs 13:11, it says, "Wealth gained hastily will dwindle, but whoever gathers little by little will increase it." We all want some kind of thing that we can just sign up for and suddenly we're rich, right? Like where we do a little bit of work, we mow one yard, and then they pay us $300. And we're like, done, all right? Like, I'm done for the day. I don't need to work anymore. I'm set, okay? And then the next day, we like wash a car, and somebody pays us $400. And we're like, yes, okay? And then suddenly, before we even know it, we're all millionaires, okay? That's not how life works, okay? It doesn't just come along. God doesn't say, hey, go out and play the lotto and hope that, you know, that one time you play is going to be a time you win and then you're set, because that's my will for everyone in the world, for you to play the lotto once and then you're set. No, that's not it, okay? He says little by little, okay? If we try and go about this hastily and go too quick and we're working without putting any effort into it, that's not it. And this can be applied to if you're doing homework and you're like, man, I know this is all I need to do for this teacher to give me a passing grade. And that's all I'm going to do because my PlayStation's over there. My friends are wanting to meet me at the mall. I want to go do this or that. And not applying ourselves to it, that's being hasty in our work. God says, no, not the least that you can do for it. Do it the best that you can. Some of you guys, you can understand math so much better than I can. Some of you guys can write in incredible ways, or you have amazing acting abilities, and God has just gifted you in that. But you know what? If I'm in a writing class, which I had to do in college, guess what? I learned how to write the best that I could, all right? And I got some decent grades. I was excited about that, all right? I was like, you know what? I didn't just, like, barely pass. Like, I did well. And it didn't come easily. It wasn't something that I just said, I'll glance over the notes on how to write an essay and then should be able to nail that SAT essay portion. I'll just, you know, go to some of the classes, pay halfway attention, and then hope that I get through this research paper that I've got to do. You guys, if you haven't had a research paper yet, that's not typically how a collegiate research paper goes down. It takes a lot of research and a lot of, yes, paper, okay? A lot of both. It takes work. And the reason it takes a lot of paper is because, guess what? You got to go through. You got to list out all your stuff. You got to, you know, formulate your ideas and put them in an order that makes sense so, you know, this professor can follow along. And you can say, well, this professor is really just going to read the first paragraph, the last paragraph, and skim over, like, the first sentence of, you know, one or two other paragraphs. So if I just get those, it doesn't even matter if I just say watermelon the whole rest of the thing. They're not going to pay attention to it. Well, that's not how this works, okay? God says, do what you do well. Don't just put the least amount of work into it. Don't go hastily into it. Because you know what? Eventually, your grades are going to dwindle. Your reputation is going to dwindle. He says, whoever gathers hastily, okay, that wealth will dwindle. Whoever gathers little by little will increase it. Putting a little bit of work in here, a little bit in there. That's how that ant works, remember? It takes like 200 naps a day. He doesn't just move the boulder 30 miles all at once. He works at it. He takes it, and then he goes, all right, I'm going to take a breather. Whew. All right, pick it up, take it a little further, take a breather, okay? He's not lazy. He's not going, I took it a little ways. Might as well go to sleep for 8 hours and then hope that it gets done the rest of the way, right? That's not his strategy. Like, he continues to work, but he's smart in how he does it. The second thing about doing it honorably, we can see, is not doing it deceptively. Our work does not need to be done deceptively. And this doesn't mean that we're necessarily coming out and lying about our work and saying, yes, I did not plagiarize this paper that looks exactly like someone else's. No, I didn't have someone else write this paper, even though my handwriting has never looked this nice in my entire life. Okay, it's not necessarily an out-and-out lie, but if we leave out the truth, that can be deception, you guys. It can be as simple as this. Let's say you have a job. You're waiting on tables, right? You're seating people down, taking care of them, getting their food, cleaning that table off, and they're leaving tips for you. And at the end of the night at a lot of restaurants, what you do is you're supposed to pool your tips with other people that are doing other services in the restaurant. You bring them together, and then you split out. Certain things go to certain people, okay? Like the busboys, they're going to get this much. The waitresses are going to get this much. And you have to, like, help each other out on certain things. I don't really know exactly how it works because I was never one, but that's kind of how it works. Well, here's the deal. You can be deceptive in the way you work by saying that you got $30 in tips when you actually got $40 in tips. Nobody's going to know the difference, right? It's just... Nobody's going to know. Here's the thing. Your honor is at stake there. Your integrity is at stake. Is your integrity only worth $10 for someone to find out that about you and then go, man, why did Scott lie about that? It was $10. Now I can't trust him. Or is it, you know, hey, something at my work when I worked at Quiznos. Anybody like Quiznos? Okay. Quiznos? Nobody like Quiznos, I guess. All right. Like one or two people. All right, cool. I like Quiznos. I think it's better than Subway. That's my personal opinion. But here's the thing, okay? We were allowed, when I worked there, we were allowed to get one of the 6-inch subs for free when we would work a certain amount of time during the day. And so it was like, well, I want to work that long because then I get a free sandwich, and that's great. Well, a lot of times people would work, you know, if it was 6 hours, they'd work 5 hours, and they'd be like, yeah, but it's like 80% of the work. I mean, I basically did it, right? But they weren't entitled to do that, okay? Or instead of getting the 6-inch sub, you got the 9-inch sub, and it's like, well, I worked some the other day. I didn't get a sub then. Well, that's not the deal, right? To be honorable in the way that we do this means that we're honest about it. We're being truthful. We're coming out straightforward and saying, this is what is true. Proverbs 11:18 says, the wicked earns deceptive wages, but one who sows righteousness gets a sure reward. See, if we go about, you know, working in school, working at an employment, working at our house, if we do that and we're cutting corners, if we're not being 100% honest in the way that we do that, he says, eventually it's going to come back and bite you. Eventually, something is going to catch up that you wish wouldn't. Because you are being deceptive in the way that you worked. The third thing that we see in working honorably is doing it without prejudice, okay? Now, how many of you, I'm going to ask a couple of things here. How many of you have read Pride and Prejudice? Anybody? Okay, cool. Okay, Graham, thanks. Appreciate it, man. Okay, how many of you have seen a movie of Pride and Prejudice or like a theater? Cool, okay. So I will tell you guys, in my top 5 movies, okay, there's like that movie Interstellar, love that, okay, that one's pretty good, it's pretty legit. The Emperor's New Groove, super love that movie, it's awesome. Threw off my groove, all right. And then one of my like top movies is the 2005 rendition of Pride and Prejudice with Keira Knightley, and yeah, super legit movie, okay, really good, cool, like, cinematography's cool in it, very good, You got all the little like lens flares and stuff. Good music in it. It's a really cool story, okay? But the whole idea in this movie, okay, it's book. It's called Pride and Prejudice, and I did read the book at one point also, so I'm not one of those people who's only seen the movie or something. Okay, I read the book. But the whole idea about Pride and Prejudice is that we create ideas about people without actually knowing them. That we will judge a book by its cover, that we will go up to someone and go, whew, I've got this guy figured out in the first 5 seconds. And you know what? There's a lot of research that says that people create their initial impression of someone within 30 seconds. Does that put some pressure on y'all? You got 30 seconds to make a good impression, go. And then like half a minute later, boom, you're done. That's it. That's all you get. Now this person has you pegged, and they think that they know everything about who you are because of 30 seconds. And we would all go, man, that's not fair. They don't know me. They don't know who I am. But here's the thing. That's what the world says. We've got 30 seconds to make an impression. But when we work, we cannot do this. In our work, we cannot be giving a preference to one person or another. We cannot, and you guys, we're seeing this a lot in the news with people discriminating against maybe a police officer, maybe against someone of a certain race, maybe someone because they look like, oh, they're in dirty clothes, you know, they're, man, I don't want to serve them. I'm not going to give them the same service I would as if they look nice and presentable and smell good and things like that. Or maybe it's like, yeah, I don't like this teacher, so I don't really care what she thinks about me or what he cares about me because that guy is a jerk and I don't like him, and so I don't have to pay attention in his class. I don't have to, you know, turn in my paper the way they say or do this or that. We can create a prejudice in the way that we work at something based on who someone is without actually knowing them. Proverbs 22:16 talks about this. It says, whoever oppresses the poor to increase his own wealth or gives to the rich will only come to poverty. Now, the way that he's talking about this here, he says, giving to the rich. Well, is it bad to give to the rich? Not inherently, right? Like, there's nothing wrong with going to someone who's rich and being like, here's $5, you know, or something like that. I mean, there's nothing wrong about that. That's like, I mean, being generous, I guess. But here's the thing. He says, giving to the rich, and it's excluding giving to the poor, okay? He talks about oppressing, and we talked about that, Pastor Keith did a little bit this morning about oppression. He says, those who oppress the poor to increase their wealth. People are not just objects, and we can't treat them like they are. And sometimes the way we treat people, we just think that there's some kind of a face that exists in front of us that isn't a real human being. Sometimes we treat people as if, hey, that person doesn't have any feelings. That person doesn't have struggles. That person doesn't have self-esteem issues. That person doesn't have a home life that's wrecked. That person doesn't go through the same things that I do. That person doesn't go through worse things than I do. That person, and man, we don't take the time. We just go, the rich guy? Yeah, I can give to him. And what does that mean? I mean, that means we're kind to the rich guy. The person that fits into our, well, this will probably benefit me in the long run. If I'm nice to this cool person, I'll probably boost my popularity. Because, I mean, if you give to the rich person, you know what? He's got the $5 to pay you back. He could give that back to you if you were in a squeeze. And we could say, oh, well, you know, if I give him something, we're going to, you know, he's going to think better of me, and this could work out well for me in the long run. And the poor, who cares about them? I can do whatever because they're not going to do anything to me. They can't. There's nothing for me to gain in being kind to the poor. There's nothing to gain in being kind to the person who sits by themselves, who studies by themselves, the person who doesn't really have friends. There's nothing for me to benefit in befriending them, being kind to those people. So I'll just go where, you know, I can get something back out of it. And he, I mean, to oppress the poor, to increase his own wealth, man, to put down someone else, it's just like Pastor Keith said this morning, it's saying I'm worth more than this person. That this person's life doesn't matter as much as mine. You guys, we have to get to a point where we recognize every single person who's around us is an image bearer of God. And when Jesus Christ died on the cross, he didn't say, man, I'm just coming for the people that it's going to benefit me. He said, blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are the meek. Not blessed are the boastful. Blessed are those who make a big deal about themselves. And we cannot work in a way that it says, I'll be great in the way I work around these people and not really care around these others. Now, that's about work. Now, here's the thing about work. And we talked a little bit about it with the ant. The wise man rests well. It's important to rest well. Because what happens if you work, and work? You get too tired. You burn out, right? You die, right? Like there was, I remember a while back, this wasn't even work, okay? This guy watched the World Cup, like the FIFA World Cup, for like 2 weeks straight, and he died because he didn't sleep, okay? Like he literally died of watching TV and not resting, okay? I'm like, that is awful. Like, he didn't rest, okay? You literally, listen, you have to get appropriate rest. Now, all of us can affirm that Sunday afternoons are like the best time ever for naps, right? I know Mr. Jones got my back on this, all right? Like, Mr. Jones got this. Yeah, naps are awesome. And you guys, Let me clue you in on something if you haven't hit this point in your life yet. There is a point as a baby where you end liking naps and you just want to be up all the time. I don't know what point that is. Pastor Izzy will probably clue us in on it in a few months and be like, it's at about 3 hours old, and then they don't want to take a nap anymore. Okay, like, but here's the thing. Once you become an adult, or maybe it's even earlier than that, because some of you may be at this point, but you realize, man, when I had opportunities in kindergarten to take naps and I refused to, man, what an idiot. Like, I wish that was not wisdom. Five-year-olds can't figure out that one day you're not going to be able to take naps and you're going to desperately desire them and you're going to be like, Lord, I need a nap. And he's going to say, you got a research paper right now, okay? Here's the thing. Even our rest needs to be done well. If we rest by watching 14 days of the FIFA World Cup, we are idiots because you know what's going to happen? We're going to die, okay? We can't do that. We're not built to do that. If you look back to the book of Genesis, right? God institutes this whole idea of rest. It says that in 6 days, God created the heavens and the earth and all these things that are in it. And then on the seventh day, what did he do? He rested. Now, can God get tired? Yes, no. Okay, here's the thing. The rest, the seventh day, we get into what it says about this on the third point. I'm going to leave you hanging there for a second, okay? It's great. Okay, the first point about rest is discern when you need rest. Not every time you want rest, right? Okay, this afternoon I was like, I would love to take about a 3.5 hour nap. That would be fantastic. And then I went, but we have a leaders meeting this afternoon, and that is important. And since I have been doing all of this, I've been being intentional about how I rest. Guess what? I took some of my day yesterday and rested because I went, you know what? On Sunday, I'm not going to have as much of an opportunity to rest, so I'm going to rest yesterday. How many of you guys like that extra hour of sleep? Anybody actually use it, or did you just stay up an extra hour and say it'll equal out? Okay, didn't feel it. That's cool. Here's the thing. Proverbs talks about discerning when we need to rest. Check it out. Proverbs 23:4. Okay, 23:4. It says, "Do not toil to acquire wealth. Be discerning enough to desist." That's a great word, isn't it? Desist. Everybody say desist.
Desist.
Desist. What does it mean to desist? It means to stop, right? To stop. To discern when we need to desist means to use your brain that God has given you to realize, you know what? I need to stop. There's a point where, yeah, we need to work. We do. God has given us work. Each and every one of us. We have school, we have employment, we have teams, we have different things that we're working on with band, with, you know, this thing, that thing, whatever we're into. And we work on that. But at a point, we need to use our brain and say, I need to rest now. I need to desist. All right, I want to encourage you guys this week to tell yourself, self, I need to desist, okay? When you realize it's time for bed and you're like, I need to get up in the morning. I need to make sure I'm not too tired. I'm going to desist, okay? Desist. Do that. Help yourself out, okay? Second thing, rest in the Lord. If you are a believer in Christ, this is an amazing privilege that we get. It says the fear of the Lord, which we talked about a little bit a few weeks ago, the fear of the Lord leads to life, then one rests content, untouched by trouble. I'm sure you guys have had this situation where you've had something on your mind that you just couldn't get rid of at the end of the day. You're laying in bed. You're like, oh, I've got so much I've got to get done. So many things that are still on my plate for tomorrow. And you're thinking, if you're a to-do list person like me, okay, and you're like, oh, I've got 38,234 things on my plate for tomorrow. Ugh, okay, and you cannot just rest, really? It says, when the fear of the Lord, when we fix our eyes on God, when we focus it all in, we're able to rest in him. That we don't have to continue and continue and continue. We can actually just go and say, you know what? The world is going to keep on spinning. It's going to be okay. And if we're working wisely, then we can rest wisely. If we're making sure we're doing those things when we're working, that we're getting things done, guess what? We're going to have the time to rest. And the third thing I want to point you to in rest is about that seventh day. Remember the Sabbath. Jesus identified the Sabbath is for men, okay? And I don't mean this as in men versus women. I mean humankind. This is in the New Testament, so check this part out. Mark 2:27, then he, being Jesus, said to them, "The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath." What was going on here was there were some religious leaders. They were trying to stump Jesus because some of his disciples were doing what was considered work on this day that was meant for rest. And they were getting all, you know, in a fuss because, Jesus' disciples actually did something on this day. Like, what? Okay? And he says, yeah, chill. Okay, calm down. It's okay. The Sabbath, this day of rest, was made for man. When God made this and he built this into the universe, guess what? He understood people need to rest. We need to rest. We have to take a break. If we go 2 weeks without resting, what happens? You die, okay? Remember. And if you went on the middle school retreat, okay, one of the top two things, don't die, okay? Like, that is one of the top two rules of any youth trip. You can just, like, put that in there. Don't die. If you die, we're going to have a problem, okay? So just lay that down as a foundation. It's great. We have to rest. We have to take a time for rest. And Jesus says, guess what? There's a special day of the week. We get to focus on the Lord so that we can really rest, that we can be content and not in troubled in our spirit. We can rest in him. And you know what? That is great because we need it. People need that time of rest. I want to encourage you, figure out when that time is. A lot of us, you know what? It's great. We have Sunday. We call it the Lord's Day. We devote a special time to worship, to gathering as a body of believers, coming together and worshiping the Lord, getting to know him more and more and encourage each other. And Sunday is a great day for a lot of us to rest on, okay? It's a difficult day for some of us, me and Pastor Izzy. It can be difficult for us to rest on this day because of other responsibilities. But you know what we have to do is say, I still need that day. I got to find it somewhere between Sunday and Sunday. Somewhere in there, there's got to be a day of rest. There's got to be a time of intentional resting. We're not meant to cram our schedules completely busy. And you guys, listen to me. Listen to me right here. You guys have more available to you than probably any time in history to fill up your schedules and to make you so busy that you don't rest. You need to work. It's important. God has created us able to work. God gave Adam a job, okay? But we also have to rest. You have to build margin in. You have to be able to take time and just dwell on how great God is. You gotta dwell in knowing that our salvation is not contingent on how great we're able to do things in the world, that Christ, his work on the cross, it has purchased our salvation. It is done. It is finished. And we can rest in that. There was an awesome story. I believe Aristotle taught it. And Aristotle, if you've studied or anything, he was like a Greek great thinker from ancient times, right? And this one day, he was hanging out with a bunch of little kids. And I kind of imagine in this story, I kind of like placed Pastor Jason into this story, but with a beard, like with a white beard. I don't know why, but I was like, Pastor Jason does a great job with our kids ministry and is just great with hanging out with them and stuff. And so I just like imagined Pastor Jason with this white curly beard, like Santa Claus almost. I don't even understand. But the story goes that Aristotle is hanging out with all of these kids and just joking around with them. This great thinker, known throughout the world, and he's just hanging out with kids and joking and playing with them and stuff, and some of these guys from the city come to him and are like, what are you doing? What are you doing hanging out with these kids? Like, you're his great thinker. You're world renowned. What are you doing just hanging out with kids? And Aristotle said, if you take a bow that you would use to go hunting with, to go to battle, if you put the string on that bow and you left it tight all the time, what would happen? Yeah, it would snap. He says, so it is with man. Now, this is not out of the Bible, but it is a great thought. If you stay wound up all the time, that tension in your life, it's going to cause you to snap somewhere along the way. Okay? You've got to be able to unwind a little bit at some point. You've got to be able to rest. You can't stay busy all the time to where you don't build in any margin. Okay? You've got to be able to rest and take that time. So when we're at work, we're working. When we're at school, we're doing it to the very best of our ability. We're doing it skillfully. We're doing it honorably. We're doing it diligently. We're going about it in the way to accomplish it and to do it to the best of our ability for God's glory. But then when we rest, we rest. We don't let these things continue to stay on our mind. We have to do that in order for us to be able to go back to work, right? To be able to go back and be useful like that bow when it's strung back. So the main concepts I want you to come away here. In all our work and our rest, our goal needs to be bringing glory to God. It's an awesome privilege that we have in our conduct and in our attitude. Proverbs 3, verse 9 and 10 says, honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of all your produce. Then your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will be bursting with wine. Not only the way that we work, but the things that we produce through our work should be for God's glory. And we see it reemphasized in the New Testament, not only with wealth, but with the work itself. Whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ. What if we did that with our lives? What if we said our entire lives can be for God's glory? That whether we're resting and we're taking that break that we need to, or whether we're at work and we're diligently pursuing this, getting it done, going to school, doing our best, going to work, going into our homes and doing the things that we need to do and serving God. What if we pursue that with the idea that, man, all of this can be done for God's glory? I'm not doing this because my parents just told me so. I'm not doing this because I need it to get a paycheck. I'm not doing this because, you know, if I don't, I'll fail out of school and I'll, you know, disappoint somebody or something like that. What if it was, I need to do my best and rest and work and whatever because I'm not doing it unto men. I'm doing it unto God. My work, my rest can be done to honor God. And I think if we would really embrace that, that would change our attitude about work to where we'd be excited about our work. That we'd be excited about our rest in a different way, right? That we'd be like, whew, I can rest. I can fully just have peace because I'm focused on the Lord. I can work and not be so tense that I want to snap and just go off on someone, or, you know, that my brain is just going to explode or something. But, man, I can do this for God's glory. I can do this to honor him. Man, I think that's got to be one of the greatest ways that we can love our Lord who has loved us so much. To say, Lord, wherever you place me in life, I'm going to do everything I do with wisdom and for your glory. And if we grasp that, I think the Lord's going to be pretty pleased with us. He's going to say, yeah, you can't earn it, but since I've given it, and you've received it, Now you can glorify. Now you can honor. Let's pray. God, we thank you for this evening. We thank you for your word. We ask that you would help us to work and rest honorably, that we would look to you and focus on you with our thoughts and with our work, so that as we go through life, that we wouldn't be filling up our schedule so much that we forget to rest, that we're not thinking that the whole world is contingent on us, but that we do realize that you've placed us here on earth with purpose. God, help us to grow in understanding how we can do that, how we can be working and resting to the best of our ability, God, that nobody would say that we were a sluggard or anything like that, God, but that they would realize, man, we can fulfill our purpose, bringing you glory, God, when we go through life.